Okay. We're a Mila Perichov Zayin Pasik Yud Aleph. Let's just go back to the two Pesukim Perichov Zayin. Pasig Yud Aleph, Oire Eschem, but let us review just the Psukim, Pasig Tes, Pasig Yud. Eev now is suggesting, or he's explaining that although he is aware that in this world, at least according in his mistaken belief, that there is no such thing as Hashkocha Pratis, and everything is chance, yet he does not advise anyone to live a life of evil. He does not advise people should choose a path of wickedness. And that's really, let's even go back to, so I read the Pesuk, I'm not going to read the inside the Mefarshim, but I read the Pesuk, Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yud. He said, Ki ma tikvas chonef, ki yiftza. The rest of the parak is going to describe the life of the chonef. The chonef is a complex word. It literally means someone who flatters. But it means, in this context, a lot more than that. It means a thoroughly evil person, a person who has a mistaken perspective in life. We always mention this many times. There are two words which are opposites. There is a mechonef and a leitz. A mechonef. These are two different terms. A leitz is an individual who it literally means to make a joke. But what's the deeper meaning of a leitz? He takes something which is very important and he makes it nothing in the eyes of man. Trivializes things that are important. Things like, let's say, learning Torah. There's nothing more important in this world than learning Torah, studying Torah. And a person then makes nothing of it. This is just for people who have nothing better, nothing to do. People that are just people who are retired. So this is the meaning of a leitz. To take the something that is the most important thing and belittle it in the eyes of others is a leitz. A chonef is just the opposite. A chonef is very important. Yisod chonef is someone who takes something which is nonsense, which is worthless, and you elevate it. This is the most important thing in the world. Hollywood, movies, television.
Black hat.
What? A black hat. Okay. To take something which is trivial, which has absolutely no meaning, and to make out of it a religion, to make it into God, is called a mechonef. What does it mean to flatter a person? You said before, a leitz, someone makes a joke. A joke means to take something that is choshev, it's nothing. A chonef is the opposite. To take something which is a joke, which truly is a joke, and to make out of it, this is the most important thing. So for whatever reason here in this perek, which we're clearly going to see that we're describing a very wicked person, we're describing the life of a wicked person, the term that Eev chose to express the ideas that he's going to bring out is the word chonef, a flatterer, a person that takes the little things in life and makes out the little things, this is the most important thing in life. So he says, I'm not advocating that a person should choose to follow the lifestyle of a chonef, because there's pasuk chesaki ma tikvas chonef. What is his goal? What is his hope? No one lives forever. Comes a certain point in time where everyone dies, and then the neshama goes to another world. And in this parak, we're going to see that at least according to the mitzudos, there's a lot of references to the next world. What does the person after his neshama departs? What is he hoping for? Kiyivtsa, when his neshama is separated. I saw yesterday that the word yivtsa is found in Chazal, b'tzias sapas. When we break bread, Friday night, Shabbos morning, we cut bread, it means to break, b'tzia. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks open the guf, he slices open the guf and retrieves the neshama, and the neshama returns to its source in heaven. What's the hope for the neshama of the chonef? He lived a life of trivialty. Everything that was narishkai was important. And now when he comes to the next world, he has not brought with him to the next world anything of value. He's only brought narishkeit. Ki yesh l'lekad nafshu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will separate, he will break open his body and will remove his neshama. Pasuk tes, hatzakoso yishma Shema Kel. Now, this can either mean that in the next world, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen, pay attention to him in the next world? Or as the Mitzvahs seem to say, that even in this world, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever be willing to listen to his prayers? Although he have said over and over that there is no such thing as Ashkocha Pratis, but he does acknowledge that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to intervene, he can. And at times Hashem does. If a person lives a lifestyle of the Chanef, he has no hope for anything good in this world. When hard times come upon him, does he have any hope that Kadosh Baruch Hu will listen to him? Pasuk Yud, Imal Shaka Yisanog, Yikra. Imal Shaka Yisanog, Yikra Eloka B'choleis. If he will attempt to take delight in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yikra Elokas. I already forgot what this means. Let's read the Mitzvot and Pasuk Yud. I already forgot this, the interpretation. Let's go back bottom. Im al shaka yisanog. I'm reading from the Mitzvot. V'chi yishon al Hashem la'angoy betova. V'chi yiftach likro la Hashem be'es hatzorech. It's a rhetorical question. Will he have the ability? Im al shaka yisanog. Will a chonef have the ability to take delight in spiritual matters? Of course not. That doesn't mean anything to him. Yikra Eloka b'chol eis. Will he have the ability, the tools to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he wishes? No, he will not, because he is a wicked person. Again, the words in the Mitzvot, V'chi yishan al Hashem la'angoy b'toiva. Will he be able to lean on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to attempt to take delight in the spiritual rewards of the next world?
He
will not be able to. V'chi yiftach likro l'Hashem b'eis hatzorech. Will he have faith to call out to Hashem at a time of need? Ko'imer, what does this mean? It's a rhetorical question. What does it mean? Ko'imer, here he explains. Haloi af tefilas. Now he's eating a lot in this part. This is what we concluded with yesterday. He's eating a lot of bayer into this pasuk. He's eating here. Halo af tefilas hatzadik. Eina nishmas, Eov, in his mistaken belief, says that, look, everything is chance. So if for the tzaddik there is no hope, al achas kama v'kama, there is no hope for the rasha. Af tfilas hatzaddik eina nishmas. Af ki rasha, so certainly, how much more so, ki rasha v'chote, there will be no hope for the rasha. But at least the tzaddik is better. This is what he's going to bring out in a few psukim from now. But at least that living a tzaddik has hope. A rasha does not have even hope. A tzaddik, there's no guarantee Hashem will listen to his prayers. Eov says, look at me. Hashem is not listening to my prayers. I'm suffering. But at least, being that I'm a tzaddik, I have hope. I can try. Hope is also worth something. But a rasha does not have even hope. Therefore, I would not advise anyone to choose the lifestyle of a rasha. So the pasuk, it has to be read as a rhetorical question. Emal shaka yisanog. Will the wicked person have the ability to take delight in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yikra. Will he have the ability to call out? Will he have be able to call out Eloka b'choleis? He will not. And therefore, I do not advise people to choose this, the lifestyle of the chonef. Now, Rashi, let's read into the Rashi. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says, appears to learn the same, interpret the pasuk the same way as the Mitzudos. And he explains there are two words. This is a lesson in Tanakh of a rhetorical question. When you ever have a hey hayidia together followed by the word im, this appears to be a pattern. There's some type of pattern here which probably take a computer and maybe you can try to find other examples. Rashi will give us one example. This pasuk yud ties back to pasuk tes. Pasuk tes starts with a hey haidia hatzaakoso yishma. Will Hashem listen to his prayer? And then pasuk yud says im al shaka yisanog. So these two expressions is a pattern. You start with a hey haidia in your first expression, and you follow through in the second expression with the word im. And that is a clear indication that we are asking rhetorical questions. Kofal ha-ha-hatmiya Kefal hatmiyahi. This is a double question. Kechol hatmiyos hakfulos, which is similar to all other examples in Tanakh where we have double questions. Shekein derech harishoyna behei. That's the style. The first question has a hey haidia. V'ashnia, and the second question be'im, with the word im. Kamo pasuk in al amos. Hayirutsun besela susim. Can a person lead? Can a person guide horses on rock? It's not easy for horses only if are comfortable when they ride on, they step on earth, soft earth. It's painful for a horse to step on Manhattan, Central Park. That's why they have to put on the horses special shoes, right? It's painful. What? They're on the hoofs. They horseshoes. You can't step on cobblestone. Horses do not feel comfortable. Horses like to gallop. Anyone ever gone to Atlantic City? Anyone gone to see the horse, the Meadowlands, to see the horses? So the earth is a special type of earth, a special type of terrain that they use on a racetrack. Right, it's not what they use on a baseball field. Every type of sport has its terrain. It's a special type of mud that is used where horses thrive. They're able to run at great speed. They feel comfortable. But if you take a horse and you have it walk down Avenue J, it's not very pleasant. It's not a pleasant experience. It has to walk very slow. What? Not for cars. Certainly not for cars. But it's not pleasant for the horse. And that's why they have to put special shoes on their hoofs. So that's what the Bible says. Hayirotsun basela susim. Can the horses run? Ruts. The word hayirotsun comes from the word ruts. Can a horse run upon sell upon rock? Im yachrosh babukarim. Can you plow with cattle? Cattle is not. You don't use a sheep and goats to plow. You use oxen. So the pasuk is asking two rhetorical questions. Just like two rhetorical questions, you don't let horses run on stone, and you don't plow the field with sheep and goats. So here we have this pattern where the first question is the hey ha'idea, and the second question is the word im. So here as well, what?
So what is accomplished by that? Is it just a continuation?
Yes, it's a pattern.
Like a comma or a semicolon?
It's a style of writing. It's a style of writing which in this case means that the second pasuk yud clearly means it's a rhetorical question. It's not a statement. It's just like everywhere, hatzaka, so it's very easy to understand the word hatzaka, so the hey idea, it's a rhetorical question. Hatzaka, so, but the word im is not. The word im is used, there are four translations for the word. The word im is a complicated word and it's used differently in different places. So here, if you take the pasuk independently, you'll get confused as to how to translate the pasuk. But now that we know that there is a style of writing where the word im is connected to the word to the pasuk before of the hey, then it becomes clear that these two pasukim is part of a set and they're both rhetorical questions. Hatzaka so yishma kel ki sova yolov sara im al shaka yisanog yikro eloka b'chol eis. So now we know that it's a set of two rhetorical questions. Hayesh b'lashoni avla. He gives another example. Is there in my tongue avla? V'imchiki lo yovin havos. Does my palate not understand corruption? So here that gets that havos means the ways of the world. Havos means the ways of the world. This is back in Perek Lamin and Eov here. Same exact pattern. The word hey hayidia hayesh. Is there deceit in my tongue? V'imchiki lo yovin havos. Does my heart not understand I think it means, sin. So again, the same there is the hey with the word im. This combination is two rhetorical questions. Afkan, here as well, Rashi explains, Hatzaka so yishma kel, im al shaka yisanog. Does the Rasha, if one chooses to live a life of evil, so will, when at times when he'll need, when things will not be going his way, will he have the ability to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im al shaka yisanog? Can it be? Shema, can it be? Oh, and I'm not sure how you read these words. Oh, mi shu rasha chanef. I don't know the word oh comes from. Mi shu rasha chanef. Yachol hu lehisanek. V'lismach al Yeshua HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can it be that a person who is evil, a rasha chanef, an evil flatterer, can he take delight in the spiritual pleasures of this world and to rely upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu when things do not go well? Al Yeshua HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the likroy elav, to call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, be es saraso bitmiya. Can it really be? There's something very deep here that appears. What
he's saying, one of two words could be substituted in the hey hashayilah, right?
Shema
or
oh me. Okay. Shema o mi, two different words, which basically mean the same thing. Two possible meanings, but it's basically we're sitting with the same idea. It's a rhetorical question. Can it be that a person who lives a life of evil, will he be able to have any spiritual relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, what he's saying here is something very, very deep. According to both Rashi and the Mitzudos, Eiv makes it very clear that it's very unlikely a person can... Again, in his mistake, everything in his mistaken understanding of the anhag of the world, he appears to say everything depends on mazel, and there's very little chance for a person, very little opportunity or ability for a human being to change his destiny. Man is put in this world; he's born into a mazel, he's born into an environment. All of the decisions already made for him, and there's very little he can do to break out of what was meant to be for him. But there is a little chance. There is a God. Eiv acknowledges it may be that there is mazel, and there may be no hashgacha pratis, but after everything is said and done, there is a creator. And if that creator wants, he can intervene and can assist. The tzaddik has that hope, and that small hope is means everything. Completely changes a person's outlook in life, a person's emotions, and his ability to overcome difficulties in life. He may not overcome; he'll suffer just as a Russia suffers. But the fact that he knows, and the fact that he has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that alone is worth everything, because that is what will be able to guide him and get him through a difficult situation in life.
Don't we say
Yisrael Abalabed Abasa? Yes, that's what I said. Eiv is making a big mistake. Eiv is making a mistake because the truth is that a person through his Koich HaTzvilah and his Ma'asim Tovim do have the power to make a significant difference in his life. He does. But Eiv is saying something very, very, very deep. Even if a person would not have the ability, and this is a very powerful lesson for us, because you know you need to be a Baal Madrega to know how to daven and to do Ma'asim Tovim L'Shem Shemayim. So to a certain degree, we very much relate to Eiv. We are, unfortunately, I can't speak for anyone but myself, we're not on a madrega where we really believe or we really feel that we can make such an impact on our destiny. But we can. We shouldn't make that mistake. But even if we were not, Eve is giving us a very powerful lesson, that the fact that we are aware that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he can, if he wants, change everything, that knowledge and that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is priceless, because it is what can guide us, can give us the moral strength and the spiritual strength to make it through the difficult situations in life.
If there wasn't such a thing as religion, people would invent it.
Exactly. He hit the nail on the head. That's exactly the point. That's exactly what he's saying. It's worth it just for that. And that's why he's telling his friends, he's telling the audience, just because there's no hashgacha, still, be a tzaddik. U'bacharta b'chayim. Choose to be a tzaddik because you'll have a wonderful life. Okay, let's... What? Of the hand, the hay and the im.
The hay and the im,
okay. Okay, only gives two examples here. Yeah.
He gives the last one.
The last one. Okay. There are many examples. There's something to keep in mind. Study Tanakh, see if there's a pattern appears in other places, maybe in Tehillim. Tehillim has a lot of these type of expressions to take note of this style of the hay with the word im. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Oire eschem biyad kel asher im shakai loy achachet. Even says, let me, my friends, come close. Let me teach you something. The word oire comes from the word yora, like yore deya. You learn the four parts of Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Avinu Ezer, Choshe Mishpat, and yore deya. What does it mean, yore deya? To teach knowledge. Yore to teach. So here we have the word oire. Eschem. So here Eev says, my friends, come close. Let me teach you something. I will teach you biyat kel. I will teach you something that is in the hand of God. Asher im shakai loy achachei. This which is with Hashem, I will not deny from you. I'm now going to teach you a powerful lesson. Let's see the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs pasuk gidalf. Oyer eschem ko'imer. What does he mean here to say? Every time he says the word ko'imer, you have to stand back and be prepared. He's going to read something that's not obvious into the pasuk. Ein devari lohasis anoshim. I want to make it clear to you, my friends. I'm not trying here in this debate that's televised, that's all over the world. I'm not trying to convince people to abandon their faith in God. Ein devari, my words are not meant lahasis anoshim, to lead people astray, livchar beresha, to choose a lifestyle of evil. That's not my point. Rak. Instead, I want to let you. I want everyone to be aware that there is no hashgacha pratis. That's all I want to make everyone aware of. There's no hashgacha pratis, but there's still a God, and there's still a God. And don't reach a conclusion that if there's no hashgacha pratis, therefore it doesn't pay to be a tzaddik. That's what I want to teach everyone. That's the point I want to make. I want to let everyone know that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a midah of abandoning the world, of an absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's still Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore you're held accountable for your deeds, and there's a next world, and therefore it's kedai to be a tzaddik. Absolutely, but that's what Sefer Eev is all about. Eev was tested, and to a large degree Eev failed the test. Let's see. So, Oyre Eschem Koimer, Ein Devari Lo, Ein Devari, good morning, how are you? Ein Devari Lo Hasiz, Anoshim of Chabar Resha. I'm not trying to make people to cause people to go astray. Rak, Ani Molamid Eschem, Hanoga, Shehi Biyad, Hokel. I'm telling you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos, V'loy Achadel, Miladaber Ma, Asher Im Shakai. I'm not going to withhold, I'm not going to conceal, I'm not going to hide the Hanhoga that exists with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'bal Yitu, so that Lebal Yitlu He'avol Bamokoim, so that no one should blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I don't want anyone to say the word makom here refers to Hashem. I don't want people to say that Hamakom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evil. Why would a person think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what we call the evil genius? Bigmol HaTzadik V'Harasha. Because look what's happening in this world. Look that a tzadik suffers like a rasha, or rasha gets reward. The fact that there's tzadik v'raloi, rasha v'toivlo, the fact that the gmol, the do, the punishment and reward is not just in this world, appears that the mokoim, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is ovel, is corrupt. I don't want people to make that mistake. It's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not corrupt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not an evil genius. The reason why wicked people prosper and the righteous suffer, it's because, my conclusion is, Ki Hakol B'Mitzad HaMarocha. Mazel. It's all chance. It's all
easier to say that since he wasn't Jewish.
Yeah, so it's true. There is true, because Chazal say ein mazel li Yisrael, but for the umos olam there is mazel. So you're right. There is. You're saying something very, very profound. And maybe the Eov is not really making a mistake. Avo.
Also, complaining. He says, I want my day in court because I want, I want this thing to change.
Okay, so that, and therefore, since it's not going to change, so what's the conclusion? That's all part of the thought process. If it's true, then I want my day in court. But I, there's no response. Ein kol yein oine. So it must be that my conclusion is there is no such thing as mishpat in this world. In this world, it's all mazel. So it's a thought process. That's part of the problem. And this is the conclusion. The conclusion is ki hakol bo mitzad hamarocha. Everything depends on mazel. Avol im kol zeh. Here is the key point, the thrust of what this paragraph is all about. Im kol zeh mehoroi. It is proper. It is fitting. Livchar b'tzedek. No one in the audience should come to the conclusion that if it's mazel, if it's totally in mazel, a person should abandon his tzedek. A person should choose livchar b'tzedek ba'avur tanug hanafshi, so that the neshama will have benefit in this world and in the next world. Okay, pasik. Let's see, Rashi. Is there Rashi? We pass the Gidalif. Yeah. Ore Eschem. Ma Hamido Shabiad Kel. Let me teach you about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos. And let me teach you about V'derech Asher Im Shakai. Lo Yachachet, I will not deny. Kimo Ki Yeda Derech Imadi. We had before that you know that Yeda know the way that is with me. Let me teach you the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And according to the Mitzvot again, the ways are an abandoning of hashkocha pratis, leaving this world to mazel, and that's why the tzaddikim suffer in this world, but again, still choose what is good. Now, pasik yud beis. Yeah?
The end of the Babur Tat,
right? So you just. Which pasik? The Mitzvah, okay, the Mitzvah is here.
Finished. He's simply saying because by doing good things, it just makes you feel better.
No. It appears to be there is something real. There is a spiritual accomplishment.
He's saying there's no point. He just finished.
Other than good for its own sake. Right. That's my thinking.
No, it means in the Olam Haba.
No, that's not what he said. You don't want to say the Nafshi refers to Olam Haba? It refers to the Neshama, Hashar is HaNeshama?
We haven't been talking about
Olam. Okay, a little bit further, he's going to say it a little more explicitly.
All right.
A little more explicitly. But seemingly, on the simple understanding is, he's telling the people, in this world, don't have any expectations. In this world, everything is mazel. But that doesn't mean you should be a Rasha. You have to still be a tzaddik, because every good deed that you do, every time you learn Torah, every time you're mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has an impact on your soul, on your neshama. And when the neshama is released from the guf, that accomplishment will give you enormous pleasure and benefit. If a person in this world chooses not to do ma'asim tovim, chooses to live a life where he pursues pleasure, the time will come when his neshama will depart from the body and then it will suffer. It will not arrive in the next world with any spiritual accomplishments. It's an investment. Everything that you do in this world is a pure investment. You will not reap benefit in this world. I mean, I shouldn't say not going to be benefit. He said there is benefit. There's benefit that you're able to deal with difficult situations. But you're not going to be able to change.
It's beyond your control.
What?
It's beyond your control.
Right. What's going to happen to you in this world? Health, success, children. It's beyond your control. But that doesn't mean just to give up. Because everything that you do you'll take with you to the next world, and in the next world it will be your food, it will be your sustenance.
That's a hard thing to sell.
That's what he's saying.
It's a hard thing to sell. Because he's just saying, making the case that Hashem abandoned us.
Right.
Then people will say, well, so let's abandon him.
Right, right.
So,
that's exactly what he's saying not to do. That's exactly the point.
Based on what? You know?
Based on the realization that there is an neshama, there is an afterlife. But there is an afterlife. What?
Neshama, right?
What?
This could be just the person's well-being.
I don't think it means that here. That he refers to the guf. That he says the word, the physicality.
You feel better or spurt. No, it makes you feel...
I hear what you're saying. To feel that, but I think...
Ethical culture.
You mean good for its own sake.
Yeah.
But why?
No, but I think... he already said it. Always so he said it a couple of sentences before.
Yeah.
In Pasuk, hey.
He did mention the oil. Yeah.
He says, Imai yete pasarash asher yinzal anashim kashi yosher rokas nafsho mimenu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his nefesh, ki atzadik yikave el panuk hanafshi. That's
he's already dead. He's already dead. Hashem takes away the Shama Olam Haba. Okay, very good. So it's very
the same lotion.
Hanafshi, spiritual enjoyment. And there in that pasuk, it's clear that he's already dead. The neshama has departed.
Or so he changes mind. Learning
he's never changed his mind. He asked that question. Well, it's a thought process. In the previous parakim, he vacillates, but he at some point in time he says, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's possible for a person to have it, to change his destiny in this world. But if that's really true, I demand my day in court. I demand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would come with me to court and he stand in judgment for what he has done to me, and he should change. He should change my situation. But what happened? What has happened after his demands? Nothing. In kol vein oina, Hashem does not respond. He continues to suffer. It must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned this world.
You know what I find astonishing? He never lost.
Yeah.
Hashkafer. He never lost belief in Hashem.
In God, absolutely.
It's
right.
Like, no matter what he says,
atheism is a modern invention.
I want to get a lawyer and take God to court. You know, everything that he says, but he never loses belief in Hashem.
He's not an atheist. You never find,
find to be astonishing.
You never find that in Sefer Iyov that he completely denies that there's a God, that the world has no creator. That we never find. There's a creator. Over and over. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you disappeared. You're gone.
But you never questioned the existence
of God. Many people, I once read an article that you know, they have studies in America, how many Catholics and Protestants and Jews and Muslims, how many atheists. And they give you this astronomical number, the percent. And then they've done a study, they've asked the people who actually said in the polls that they're atheists. And the more you talk to them, the more you realize they're not atheists. They just mean like what Eve says. They pretty mean the way is that of course there has to be that God created the world, but it's hard for me to see Hashgacha Pratis in this world.
More like agnostic than.
It's very hard to find a true atheist. Every human being, deep down somewhere has some sensation that there is a creator. It's just how far. What? That's in the foxhole. Okay, but we're talking about the golden Medina. We're talking about when things are going good. Yeah.
There's some pretty vocal ones out there, and all have Jewish names.
Okay, let's go further. Okay, so this is what he says in Pasuk Yud Aleph. We concluded. I'm going to teach you Biyad Kel. I'm going to teach you what's Biyad Kel, the conduct of God. The conduct of God is his desire to abandon us. Hashem Shakai. This conduct of God, his nature to abandon his creatures. Loi achachet. I will not hold back from you. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. The person can have no impact upon what's going to happen to him in this world. But still, don't. But still, now he goes into Pasuk Yudbeis. But still, do not choose to be an evil man in this world, because ultimately you will die. The neshama will return to its source, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there you will need to come back on your investments. Hein atem kulchem chazisem. Okay, here he says, behold, all of you atem kulchem chazisem, you have all seen what happens to the evil man. Okay, these psukim are all the psukim are obviously very complicated, but we find a very big divergence of opinions exactly what he's trying to. We're going to stick to the mitzudos, even though it's not the easiest interpretation, because at least it's just in front of us and we can go through word by word. So let's read the pasuk. Hey, natem kulchem chazisim, you have seen it all. The lama ze hevel tabolu. Why do you talk nonsense? Hevel, two word, the repetition of the word hevel, hevel tabolu. Why do you talk to me? The advice that you present is pure nonsense. So let's see what he means. Pasuk yubez in the mitzvos. Hey natem koimer. What does he mean to say over here? Haloi, behold, gam avdon harasham hu mefursam umatzui ad shatem kulchem reisem. Now he seems to be going backwards. The wicked ultimately are destroyed. Now, what really? Didn't Eev say all along that the wicked are not destroyed? Okay, let's continue along on this thought for the moment. Ubevadai, and with a certainty, loy achesh hamuchash. I'm not going to deny what you can sense. Muchash means what you can feel. I'm not going to deny the fact that wicked people ultimately are destroyed. The lama ze imkein tidaber hevel b'chinam lachshayf. To think that I choose a lifestyle of evil. According to the Mitzudos, Eev is accusing his friends of reaching the conclusion that if there is no hashkacha, you might as well throw in the towel and be a Rasha, live a lifestyle of wickedness. So he's saying to them, you're making a big mistake, I would never do that, because we all know good and well that the end of a Rasha is no good. Now, all right, and okay, let's just follow for a few moments with that thought. You all know that even though there are wicked people, indeed there are wicked people who succeed and prosper, but by and large, the end is the Rasha is defeated, he is destroyed. So why then would I choose to live a lifestyle of evil, even though I faithfully believe that there is no such thing as a Shkacha Pratis? Now let's just read a few psukim. Let's see Rashi first, Pashi Pasuk Yud Beis, Kulchem Chazisem, Shezechelek Odom Rasha. Everyone knows what happens to an evil man. At the end, he is destroyed. V'lama zehevel tabalu liyos rishoyim v'chanifim. Why then do you speak words of nonsense? To be, now what do you mean liyos? So we have to assume that Rashi means the same thing as the Mitzudos, that Rashi means to say that why then do you accuse me of reaching the natural conclusion of if there is no hashkacha pratis, there should be a person should abandon his faith and become a Rasha. I never meant to say that.
Yeah, but I don't think he means he's talking about himself. He says, why would you then?
But they don't say that. That's not what they're saying. They're accusing him.
No, he's talking to the audience.
Leo
is... You all know that so-called the Russia is destroyed. Why would you adopt such a lifestyle?
Okay, but why is he saying this then? At this point in time, if you use the mitzudos to add some more flavor, the flavor is that what's the logical conclusion? There's no hashkacha pratis, so be a rasha, have an easy life. No, even though there is no hashkacha pratis, I think what he means to say, and we'll see this in the mitzudos in the next psukim, in the mazolos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the world of mazolos, also set up a mechanism where the wicked people ultimately will be destroyed. So there is no hashkacha pratis, but still society, you know, you ever read a good novel or watch, I don't know, a good television show, there's always this balance of power between the forces of good and the forces of evil, right? This has to be, always has to be Superman. There always has to be,
that's all fiction.
There always has to be good and evil. Who ultimately wins when it's over? At the end of the show, always the result always is the forces of good overcome the force of evil. That is built, he's making this suggestion, that is built into Mazel as well. Again, another layer is going, he's a philosopher, he's going, there's no such thing as a Shkacha Pratis. There is a Mazel. And if there's a Mazel, everything is chance. Where you stand in this world is all chance, and there's nothing you can do to break out of it. But still, if you find yourself, if you choose to live, to take sides with the force of evil, the end is going to be you're going to be destroyed. So it's still not a good idea to choose such a lifestyle, even though there is no hashkacha pratis. And you all know this. Heinatem kulchem chazitzem. You all know this. You all know this very well. And therefore, v'loma ze hevel tebol. Why would a person choose nonsense, foolishness, hevel, to choose to be a rasha? Now he gives examples. Let's look at what happens to a rasha. Ze chelek adam rasha imkel. The following. You have to really ignore the psik. Ignore that line in between the rasha imkel. That's how most mepharshim, they don't really take any significance in with that, why there's a line there. The following is the portion of a man who is a rasha imkel before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person who chooses to be evil before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the following is v'nachlas, the inheritance of aritzim. An aritz, a tyrant, a person who steals. Another word for a rasha, ganav, mishaka yikachu. That yikachu means what he will take from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the following psukim tell us how he will suffer. Let's read the mitzvahs inside Pasuk Yud Gimel. Zeh chelek rotza loymar. Zeh chelek harasha ha'amur lamata. What we're going to learn in the following psukim is what is destined for a rasha. He will die, his children will die, his wife will die. Everything that he has earned, that he has accumulated, will be distributed to other people, and he will leave this world with absolutely nothing. That's what happens to a rasha, and you all know that's what happens to a rasha. Zechel k'rasha ha'amu l'mata, asher isem, halaygam hishmura im kel. This conduct, this punishment, is guarded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahavi Allah. Now here are the key words. I can't emphasize enough the chidush of the mitzudos. Be'emtzuus hamaracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not present, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through an intermediary of the mazalos, ka'asher shmura lahavi ala tzadik, which is guarded. Just like it's guarded to bring upon the tzaddik suffering, as Eev says about himself, it's also prepared and guarded to bring upon the rasha suffering. A rasha will not get away with his crimes. Hashem will punish him, not directly, indirectly, through the maracha. The im ki rasha mu'utad means designated. Yes. He's destined for destruction. Okay, here it's very clear. The nefesh and the olam hanitzchi in the next world. Im kol zeh, despite this, odo b'chayov, while he is alive, mikre echo lo ula tzadik, he will suffer the same fate as the tzadik. Ki lo yinotzel gamhu misibos hamarocha, he will not be spared from the mazel. The mazel will not, he will not be spared. So just because the rasha in this world temporarily succeeds, ultimately the rasha will suffer the fate of the tzadik. What's the tzadik? Tzadik is tzadik viralo. The rasha will also be destroyed. Again, not directly, but indirectly through the mazel. No one's mazel is perfect. Everyone's mazel has flaws, and everyone will ultimately suffer. So the rasha will also ultimately suffer. No one's wealth and success lasts forever. So at the end of days, what's going to happen, Eev says? The tzaddik will suffer, and the rasha will suffer. They'll both suffer. But what's the difference? After they die and they come to the next world, at least the tzaddik will have what to look forward to. He will have the benefit of Olam Haba. Whereas the rasha, he will be destroyed in the Olam Haba. Therefore, it only makes sense for a person in this world to stick it out, to make good investments, and to choose to be a righteous person. Because anyway, if he chooses to have a lifestyle of evil, anyway, that will also be taken away from him. V'nachlas, the next word is the pasuk, v'zehom ulamata, the inheritance that's going to be mentioned in the following psukim, hinachlas aritzim, is the inheritance of the tyrants, hamischaskim lokachas loilhem, the translation of an aritz is a person that forcefully takes away property from someone. Extortion. Lokachas loilhem, Asher yikhu mishakai, they will take mishakai be'emtzuus hamarocha, through the intermediary of the mazel. Kasher yikhu hatzadikim, they will ultimately take, they will receive. Yikhu here means to receive. They will receive punishment through the mazolos, the intermediary of the mazolos, just like the tzaddikim in this world suffer. So these two parts of the pasuk really are the same thing. They're really saying the same exact thing. So we review the pasuk again. Pasuk Yud Gimel inside. Zeh refers to what we're about to read in the following sukkim, starting with pasuk Yudalit. From Yudalit to the end of the perek is what Zeh refers to. Zeh chelik odom rasha imkel, that is with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Imkel, according to the Mesudas, means Hashem has set in the mazel. He's created the mazel, and the mazel will bring about punishment for the rasha. Just like the tzaddik does not have a perfect life, and the tzaddik suffers.
Isn't that kal
v'chomer? No.
The tzaddik suffers, the abad rasha is going to
suffer. Not necessarily. No, it's rasha v'toivloi. Rasha v'tovlo, that's what Eve questioned in the past as well. But Eve is suggesting that although now, in this moment, he's successful, don't worry. Ultimately, the Rasha will fall and will fail, and he will suffer everything that's going to be mentioned in the following psukim. And therefore, when everything is over, what will he have in this world? Nothing. What will he have in the next world? Nothing. What does the tzaddik have in this world? Nothing, because the tzaddik suffers. What will the tzaddik have in the next world? Everything. And therefore, the conclusion is, it's kedai to be a tzaddik, at least to have benefit in the next world.
So he's assuming that a tzaddik never has a good life.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's what he's saying, yeah.
He's looking at himself.
Or even if the tzaddik has good, it's no better than the rasha. It's good only for the moment. Ultimately, the mazel will get the better of you, and you'll suffer. And don't be fooled to think that Rishon have it any better. They may have it better temporarily, but the Rishon will ultimately suffer as well. Now the second part of the pasuk is an exact repetition. It's a parallel. When it says v'nachalas, that parallels the word zeh. That parallels the word zeh chelek, Adam. Aritzim parallels the word Rasha, and all the punishment that we're going to learn in the future is going to be the punishment to the Rasha. Mishakai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yikachu, they will take. Now, what is the pun? Now, let's see first Rashi Pasuk Gimel. What is the pun? There is no Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Here he begins to describe all the horrible things that ultimately come upon the Rasha. Im Yirbu Vanaf, evil though you may find that a wicked person has many children, don't worry, Lemo Choref, they will be given over to the sword. They will all die. V'tzatzav, and all of the grandchildren of the Rasha, lo yisbu ulochem, they will not be sated with bread. He may be a multimillionaire, but look at his grandchildren. His grandchildren won't have what to eat. We'll read another pasuk. Pasuk tezvav. Siridav, any survivor in his family, any long-lost relative that survives in that family, don't worry. Death will get the hold of them. They're not going to live out good lives. The Alminoisav lo sivkena, and the widows of the wicked family will not cry over the loss of the dead. Now this can mean many, many different interpretations. One interpretation means because they'll also die. Okay, they'll die also very quickly. They're not going to be around very long to mourn. They'll perish as well. Or it could mean that the sorrows will be so great they'll be happy that their relatives die. When a person suffers to such a great degree, the family, they pray that the person should die. Because at least when they die, the suffering will come to an end. So the widow of the Rasha will be pleased that her husband died, because at least the husband is not suffering anymore in this world. Very powerful expression of describing extreme suffering that comes to people. Let's take a look at Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit Mitzudos. Im Yirbu. Af Im Yirbu B'nei HaRasha. L'pamim lo yismach bohem. Even though if the Bnei Rasha at times are successful, lo yismach bohem, the Rishon will not have pleasure in their children, ki yiyu nisunim el hacherev, because the day will come when they'll be given over to the sword, v'yafim yisrabu tzetzav, even if they'll have grandchildren, what a tzetzav, heim bnei banim, hinei lepa'amim lo yisbu lachem, there are times when the grandchildren will not have what to eat. The grandparents may have been multimillionaires, but the grandchildren may be starving. Sorry, da pasik tzav, the survivors, Hanisharim Echerev, anyone that survived the sword, anyone that did not go out to war and die by sword, Hinei Lipa'amim Yikavru Gan, you carve gam gam hayom be ace bo olav hamaves. They will die quickly, swiftly today when death comes upon them. Ulazeh lo sivkena al minoisav. The widows of these people will not cry alehem. Why not? Lebal bal yishbar libo. To break the heart of the evil person. In other words, the evil man, the grandfather, is deathly ill and he's suffering. And then a report comes in that the grandchild has died. So the grandmother wants to cry. The grandmother is in pain, the loss of her son or grandchild. But the grandmother will not cry over the loss of her grandchild or, let's say, the loss of her child in the presence of her husband, because if she will cry, then the sick man will realize something is wrong. And that pain will cause him to die quickly. So she will. This compounding the tzara. The grandfather is extremely ill, and the family has to hide from the grandfather bad news. Because if the grandfather would know the bad news, that would cause his state to deteriorate even more. But that itself is torture, because the people in the family have a need to express their tzar. By suppressing their tzar, it causes them even greater pain. So it's a cycle.
This is about a grandson that dies?
Well, it's both, grandson and son. He's going back and forth. There are many interpretations. Because he will, on the Al Shem HaOsek, because he ultimately will die. He's going to die soon. He's deathly ill.
All three generations.
He's going to die very soon. This woman's husband is deathly ill. He's about to die. But they want to preserve his life as long as possible. And now a report comes in, something horrible has happened. So the grandmother has a need. She's an almana al shem ha'asid, because the death of her husband is imminent. And she has a need to express her tsar by crying. But she doesn't want to cry in front of her husband. Because if she cries in front of her husband's going to realize something terrible has happened. And when he hears the bad news, he'll faint. He'll faint and die. Eve is describing, it's a miserable state of existence. He's describing what happens to people. The Russia. This is describing that. This will happen to the Russia. Not now, but at some point in time. What? For sure! That's a given! That's a given. Look at myself, he obsessed. Look at myself. The point is, what's happening to me will happen to the Russia as well. Therefore, in this world, there's really no difference between the Russia and the Tzaddik. Everyone ultimately has to face suffering in this world.
If the Russia's going to suffer at the end.
Yeah. But so therefore what? So what is he? Exactly. But no, he's giving advice. So therefore, what would a person say? You look at me, you see how I suffer. Tzadik viralo. You know what? Throw in the towel. You might as well be a Russia. It's not. So he's saying, no, don't throw in the towel, because what you think by being a Russia, you can have a good life. You can have just as a miserable life. So what then is the left of both the tzadik and the Russia? The afterlife.
Right.
The afterlife. So you might as well be a tzadik in this world as an investment to have something in the next world.
He's saying that I'm not upset that I'm suffering.
Exactly. No, exactly. Yeah, pretty good. He's saying there is no hashgacha pratis. Everyone has
right.
to suffer.
If there's no hashgacha pratis, then I'm not suffering. I'm not upset. I'm not depressed because of it, because we all go through this. Is that what he's saying?
No. According to the Mitzudos, he's focusing very specifically on a person should live a life of righteousness.
Right. So that's what he did.
And he's explaining this in an elaborate way.
So does he have complaints or he doesn't have complaints?
He does have complaints.
Why?
It's not fair to suffer in this world. That's besides the point. What?
Everyone suffers.
So that's a complaint. I'm complaining about myself. I'm complaining about the Russia also. I'm complaining about everyone.
If in the beginning he kind of, the Russia was good for him.
Yeah.
I'm a tzaddik, and why do I want to have my day in court? Because I want to show I'm a tzaddik and I shouldn't be punished. Now he's saying, you know, we all suffer.
Right, but that doesn't mean it's right.
No,
he's given up. He's not focusing on that point.
Well,
he's
not. I did good. Why am I suffering?
Because everyone is under the Muslim that they suffer. That's the rule of the
game. Why is that right?
Because we don't know. He can't say it's wrong.
That's his
the only time he can say it's wrong when he was saying everyone else was getting good.
Why is it right?
Bad.
If I do right, I should not suffer. Period. Doesn't matter what anybody else.
He's not focusing on every. He's not at this point in time. He's not complaining about why he suffers. He's making an entirely different point. Every pasuk in Iyov is not coming.
Everyone's going
to
suffer.
Exactly, and therefore you should still choose to be a tzaddik in this world.
Like I'm doing.
Don't think that by being a rasha you're going to have a good life.
Right.
I'll give up olam haba so that I can have a good life, and I'll have a good life. I'll be a rasha in this world, and I'll give up olam haba so I'll have a good life in this world. Guess what? It's not going to work. You can give up olam haba and you can be a rasha in this world, and you'll suffer in this world. So what will you come away with when everything is over? Zero. You'll have a miserable life in this world, and you'll have no olam haba. You'll have nothing across the board.
And if we say this is Dura Babel,
yeah,
then it's perfect.
Why?
Because they died with their kids, their grandkids.
They all died, yeah, Dora Mabel, and they had no Olam Haba either.
Right.
So it's not worth it. It's not worth to be a Russian in this world. It's the only place. It's not coming, in every Pasuk is not coming to define the whole scope of tsar, of a punishment. He's just making one very specific point. Okay, let's see the Rashi. So, but this is the Chumashom Chazal, Razal, the list was in the Mitzudos, Choyle Shemes Loimes, and a person who's deathly ill. If in the family another person died, you're not allowed to reveal the information to the chayle. Shemes lemes ein boichin lefanav. Do not cry in the presence of the ill person. Shlo yishbar libay. When the person realized that a tragedy has happened in the family, it's going to cause him pain, and he will lose the motivation to fight. To fight on in the struggle to remain alive. So here that's how Eve is describing the miserable situation that the family finds themselves in. The older generation are very, very ill. There's tragedy that's coming upon the younger generation, and the older generation will not even be able to have an opportunity to mourn and express their sorrow for what has happened, because that will cause even more problems for the people that are currently ill. Okay, Rashi pasuk Yud Dalit. Im yirbu banav lomo lacheref. If a rasha has many children, don't be impressed. Don't think that he's receiving reward in this world. Do you know what's going to happen down the line? They'll all be given over to the sword. Yirbu v'yamusu b'yisurim. They will increase and die in suffering. V'tachluim is suffering and illnesses. Ad to the point, ki yismuchu al menoisa v'misasan v'loy sifkena. Rashi is learning not like the Mitzvot. He's learning like what I told you when I read the pasuk originally, is that sometimes a person suffers to such a degree you pray that he should die, because at least when the person dies he no longer suffers. So we're describing a miserable situation where the person is in such a miserable state of pain, the widows will rejoice upon the death of their spouse, their husbands, because now at least they're not suffering. That's what's going to happen. Let's next pasuk. Im yitzbar ke'ofer ketzef v'chachoymer yochin malbush. Look at the rasha. Don't be impressed. He accumulates silver like dust. He's phenomenally rich. Multi billionaire. Accumulates like dust, silver. V'chachoymer like clay yochin malbush. His wardrobe. He has more articles of clothing in his wardrobe than there are particles of chomer, of dust. Chomer is another word for afar, of clay that's out in the street. Don't be impressed. Do you know where all the money is going? Where is the money going? It's going with him into the grave. It's going to Yochin. He prepares v'tzadik yilbash. He may prepare all this wealth. Ultimately, it's going to go to pay for welfare. It's going to support tzadikim. V'tzadik yilbash. V'chesef naki yachalok. And the silver, the naki, the innocent person, yachalok, will divide. So don't be impressed. Don't think that living a lifestyle of a Russia and stealing and extorting from other people is going to succeed. Ultimately, the money will be returned to the people that you have stolen it from. Pasik tezvam tezayin yizayin mitzudus. Im yitzbar, avim yitzbar kesef rav ke'ofar v'yochin malbush meruba ke'chaymer. Don't worry. Yochin, all of this will ultimately go to the lipa'amin. Now, at this point, I emphasize. But Eev, according to the Mitzudos, he always adds the word lipa'amin. Sometimes. No guarantee. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. No guarantee that the Russia will indeed suffer this fate. There's a possibility. Because Eev l'shitaso, everything depends on mazel. And it's very it's potluck. Just because today the Russia is successful, there's no guarantee that tomorrow the Russia is going to be successful, and there's absolutely nothing the Russia can do to guarantee his success into the next generation, because there are mazalos. Maybe sometimes he does have success in the next generations, but that's not going to be due to his own, it's not going to be a result of his own doing. That's only a result of the mazal. Therefore, don't choose a lifestyle like the Russia. There are no guarantees. If you would tell me, you can argue that is a guarantee. If you choose this path of life, this course, you take this course, you're guaranteed to have a wonderful life and to succeed and have children and great-grandchildren, have a dynasties. Then no, maybe you can argue, all right, I'm going to give up my Olam Haba in order that I can have Olam Hazeh. But I'm sorry to tell you people, that's not the way the world works. You can choose a lifestyle of wickedness, there are no guarantees. Lipa'amim. Sometimes it happens that the Rasha suffers the same fate as the righteous people. They suffer. Lipa'amim. Yachin pasuk gizad lipa'amim. Hu levad hamechin. He alone prepares. Aval ha'kol bo'liyad ha'tzadik. Everything ends up in the hands of the tzadik. V'yilbashu. And the tzaddik wears the clothing. The kaspa bol dehanoki, and the silver goes to the innocent person. The chalik lasher yosha be'enov, and it's distributed to the one that is pleasing in the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Choymer holds since upam mikosh at tzaddik yatzlich yoyser me'rasha. Sometimes in this world, the mazel dictates that the tzaddikim are successful. In Cain. Here he comes back to the thesis of least according to the Mitzudos, Lama Yivchar Mi Bederech Haresha. What do you have to gain by choosing a lifestyle of evil? There's no guarantees you will be successful. The only thing you're guaranteed if you choose a lifestyle of Resha is you will lose your portion in Olam Haba. So it's not Kedai. There's no mazel. Everything is chance. Everything is predetermined. There's nothing you can do to break out of your situation. But that does not mean you should be a Rasha. Because if you're going to be a Rasha, you're going to certainly lose your Olam Haba. That is the only thing that is guaranteed. Rashi, Pasik, Pasig Yudzayin is the one Rashi in the parentheses. The Kesef Naki, Kasper Shal Rasha, the silver of the Rasha, Lenaki, Yechalkenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will distribute it to the Rasha. Okay, so we will stop here with Pasig Yudches.